Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah nasta'inuhu wa nastaghfiruh. Wa na'udzu billahi min shururi anfusina wa min sayyiati a'malina. Man yahdihillahu fala mudilla lahu wa man yudlilhu fala hadiya lahu. Wa nashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lahu. ونشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام. قال تعالى في القرآن المجيد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الف لام م. ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين. قال رسول الله صلى الله تعالى عليه الصلاة والسلام: أفضل الذكر لا إله إلا الله، وأفضل الدعاء الحمد لله، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: صدق الله وصدق الرسول، ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected علماء الكرام, my brothers in Islam, firstly we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for blessing us with Iman. We praise Allah jalla majdahu for blessing us with Islam. And we praise Allah ta'ala for making us from the ummah of Nabi Akram sallallahu ta'ala alayhi salatu wa sallam. Shariat is complete and easy, and Shariat has got solutions for everything. Shariat has been sanctioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a very famous mufassir. Mufassir means the person who was an expert in commentating on Qur'an al-Kareem. Maulana Ahmad Ali Lahori rahmatullah alayh. He wrote a tafsir of Qur'an al-Kareem and summarized ruku by ruku. We have translated it, it's on our website, alislam.co.za. However, when he summarized the latter part of Surah Baqarah, he said there are five things which a person, if the person implements it, that will be good for self-reformation, for self-discipline, for self-upliftment. A person wants to change his life, he has to implement these five things. A person wants to reform, must implement these five things. A person wants to become a better person, spiritually, morally, change his character, then he implements these five. Now what are those five? Number one, Tawbah. To repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, to make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number four, to make shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number five, to respect the shiar of Allah. Shiar, chief symbols of Allah. Now Tawbah, respected elders, that's an essential ingredient for any person, that he must recognize sin as sin and then come out of the sin and proceed towards nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Without Tawbah, the person will never move away from error, mistake, blunder. If a person does not realize that I am not performing salat with jamaat, I am not performing my salat, and he does not realize that to be a sin, he is not going to reform. A person does not realize and does not take cognizance of the fact that I am shaving and this is not supposed to be done, I am going against the Sharia, until he realizes that, then he say, okay, I must not shave, I must now please Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he will start changing if he recognizes the sin of shaving to be a sin. Then to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Generally, we are careless about this. We have not know, we do not know how to make dua, and we do not say Ameen to our own duas. And when we do not make dua, it is stated Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would create a nation that would sin and make dua. At the moment we are sinning and we are not repenting and we are not making dua. Thirdly, shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for whatever He has given us. When we look pro rata and compare the whole world, then we see how fortunate we are that at every doorstep we have got masjid, jamaat khana, makatib, hifz madrasas, darulums, awqaf institutes, and we are burying our deceased lying flat. Respected elders, go to other countries, you will realize that they do not have all these amenities. And here we have taken everything for granted. And to make the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while we are walking, talking, meeting, not wasting time, but constantly, whenever we are so-called doing nothing, coming to masjid, going to masjid, sitting in the masjid, to be engaged in zikr, tasbih, tahleel, tasbir, recitation of Durood Sharif, reading Qur'an-e-Kareem, this has not come into our pattern of life. Then, respected elders, to respect the symbols, the shiar of Allah, as I told you previously, Shah Waliullah Delhi Rahmatullah Alayh has written in Hujjatullah al-Baligha that there are four major shiar symbols of Allah. What are these four? One is Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Number two, Kaabatullah. Number three, Kitabullah, that is Qur'an-i-Kareem. And number four, Salat. Now these are four major symbols of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, signs of Allah, signs of a Muslim, signs that we adhere to Islam. Now, respected elders, concerning Kitabullah, few words I want to say about that. Kitabullah, Qur'an-i-Kareem, respected elders, is, for understanding purposes, we'll divide it. We have got the text of Qur'an-i-Kareem. We have got text of Qur'an-i-Kareem. Then we have got the meaning of Qur'an-i-Kareem. Then we have got the writing of Qur'an-i-Kareem. Then we have got the recitation of Qur'an-i-Kareem. And fifthly, we have got the action on Qur'an-i-Kareem. So that also we divide into, for the purposes of understanding, into five. The text of Qur'an-i-Kareem. Meaning, number two, of Qur'an-i-Kareem. The reading of Qur'an-i-Kareem. The practice of Qur'an-i-Kareem. And the writing of Qur'an-i-Kareem. Now, as far as the text itself is concerned, that it is protected. The text is protected by the Hufaz. Alhamdulillah, in our country we have got literally thousands of Hafizes. Throughout the entire world we have got millions of Hafizes. The respected elders, when the British came into India and decided, and they self-concluded, in order to destroy the Muslims, let us destroy the Quran. So they should have a big sentence, official burning of Qur'an-i-Kareem. And let alone hanging of the ulama, and beating, punishing of the ulama, but they should officially tell the public, bring your Qur'an-i-Kareem and force the Qur'an-i-Kareem out of them and set it alight. Until the ulama ikram came and told them that, listen here, that what are you going to do with these youngsters which they presented to them? So what do you mean? So they told those youngsters, read. So the youngsters began to read. These British rascals began to look at them and say, now what? So the Muslim scholars told them, see, you can burn the Qur'an-i-Kareem, but you cannot kill all the Muslims. That is when they stopped burning Qur'an-i-Kareem, realizing fully that the text of Qur'an-i-Kareem is now preserved in the hearts of mankind. Atawala Shah Bukhari Rahmatullah Ali was a great orator. It is stated without exaggeration that when he should start talking after Isha, he should end comfortably just before Fajr, and no one moved. He's classified as one of the 6 best orators in the Indo-Pak subcontinent. In Lahore, he was giving a speech. Whilst he was giving a speech, he read a Quranic ayat. One person, villager, stood up and told him, Shahji, it's wrong. The ayat you are reading is wrong. So Shahji continued. After a while, he read the same Quranic ayat again. And the same villager stood up, told him, see, this ayat you are reading is wrong. Shahji continued. Third time he read that again the same ayat. The same villager stood up and told him, I am saying you repeatedly, you are reading this Quranic ayat wrong. Atawala Shah Bukhari Ramtulali burst out crying, and then he went on to explain that I know I was reading this wrong, but I wanted to prove to the public that this is the protection, divine protection of Quran e Kareem. Everybody knows that I can turn this crowd. And he was such an orator that he could make anybody cry in a minute and laugh in a minute. He said, I could have turned this whole congregation against this villager, but I allowed it to move and run because to prove that Allah is the one protecting. This villager knows what capabilities I have got. But the fear of Allah in him makes him stand repeatedly to tell me that Quran is divinely protected. So the text of Quran al-Karim, respected elders, is protected by the Hufaz. The meaning of Quran al-Karim, that means the understanding of it, and the purpose of it, and the inner and the hidden meaning of it, the literal translation of it, and the metaphorical translation of it, and the outer meaning of it, and the inner dimensions of it, and the masail pertaining to it, the ulama ikram study, and they elucidate and they explain. That is why currently there is in the Meccan library a tafsir of Quran al-Kareem written over 500 volumes, 25 volumes of that only pertain to Surah Fatiha. Now, for example, there was one Allama Faizi. He wrote Quran al-Kareem according to Maulana Shibli Nomani. He wrote it over 2.5 years, over 700 pages, and he wrote commentary of Quran al-Kareem using Arabic alphabet. Arabic alphabets which has got no dots on it. No dots. He wrote tafsir of Quran. Using those Arabic alphabets, alhamdulillah, which have got no dots. So the ulama ikram, our alhamdulillah, ulama ikram, the maulanas, the muftis, the shaykhul hadiths of the entire world, they study this. Wonder sometimes what they're doing 5 years, 6 years, 7 years in the Darul Uloom, that from the initial stages, translation of Quran, meaning of Quran, dynamics of Quran, science of Quran, principles of Quranic interpretation, all that is taught, and then the inner meanings and how to take out law from Quran. So meaning, purport, the ulama ikram safeguard. Then you come to the recitation of Quran al-Kareem, the qiraat of the Quran al-Kareem. That the qura, the qaris, they preserve it. See how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preserving this. Because He has made a promise in Quran al-Kareem that we are those who have revealed it and we are the hafizun. And how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preserving it, is preserving Quran al-Kareem from all angles. That means from the text, the hafizun, the meaning, the ulama, and the qiraat, the qurra, the recitation, the qurra, and alhamdulillah in South Africa now, that there is a surge. There is a lot of times you have jalsas, and after the jalsas we are inundated with questions. The Mufti Sahib, they were reading, and they were reading some funny Quran, you know, and they were perhaps making mistakes. No mistakes, they were reading variations of qiraat. So they say, no Mufti Sahib, instead of reading Alif Lam Ra, they're reading Alif Lam Re. What are they doing? No, that there are several famous methods of recitation. They were just practicing and reading those recitations. Originally there were 14 methods of recitation. 7 have survived and have got popularity. And these 7 you hear in Qiraat Jalsas. That's why Alhamdulillah in our darooms these days you find after the person or whilst he's becoming Maulana, he's studying extra kitabs, and when he finishes Maulana's course, they say, no, he's going to do takhassus in Qiraat, that he's specializing now in Qiraat. Alhamdulillah. So preservation of recitation is done by the Qurra, the writing of Qur'an al-Kareem. This is done by the Katib, the calligraphist. And there are many ways, because we are not accustomed to the science, that there are many ways of writing in the Arabic language. Those of you who are conversant, you will know that there are various styles, and each style has got its own name, and each style has got its own peculiarity, and how you recognize them also, books have been written, that how you recognize that whether this is a Kufi script, or whether this is a Basri script, or whether this is now the latest script. Now they have even invented a latest script now that has come about of writing the Arabic language. Respected elders, from the writing it is preserved also. Then you get, respected elders, the action. The Qur'an al-Kareem, whatever the Qur'an al-Kareem says, it is preserved in action. How it is preserved in action? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, says, وَأَتِمُ الْحَجَّ وَالْأُمْرَ لِلَّهِ, that complete the Hajj and Umrah for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every Muslim that goes for Hajj or Umrah is preserving the ayat. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ, that establish salat and give zakat, automatically those who are making salat, they're protesting that Quranic ayat. Those who are giving zakat are automatically protecting that Quranic ayat. So Quran is being protected from all sides, whether it is the text, whether it is the meaning, whether it is the recitation, whether it is the writing, or whether it is the practice. Now, scholars say, as far as the Huffaz are concerned, that those who are belonging to the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat will have the maximum amount of Hafizes or Huffaz, plural. Going to any area you'll find, Alhamdulillah, those that are adhering to the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat will have maximum Huffaz. Then they say, if you look at the country of Egypt, you'll find practically every masjid, every corner, they stress up to today the art of recitation, and they will strive in this. Those who have been to Cairo, etc., that you will find that in any small masjid or any big masjid, they will have classes upon classes of how to read Qur'an al-Kareem. And the best Qur'an come from the Egypt area, from Cairo, etc. Then those who are acquainted, when you go to Turkey, and when you study there, you realize that the best katibs of Qur'an al-Kareem, or best calligraphies of Qur'an al-Kareem, they come from Turkey. And if you want anything written fancy or so-called nice and presentable, then the Turkish scholars have made big headway in that. Then when you want to really, you have to give credit to the ulama of Indo-Pak subcontinent, that they have made great efforts in explaining Qur'an al-Kareem, writing tafasirs of Qur'an al-Kareem, understanding Qur'an al-Kareem. So, from various portions of the world, you'll find various groups coming to protect Qur'an al-Kareem. Allama Khalid Mahmood, Rahmatullah, Allama Khalid Mahmood, Damat Barakatuhu, great scholar, he's still alive in Lahore, and he's got a base in Manchester. He stated something very interesting. He said, if you look, then you have the 4 Khalifs, Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He says that if you look at the history of Islam and you study political leaders and good administrators, then you will find that most of them are linked to Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and most of them are linked to Quraysh. Why? Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in one hadith, Al-A'immatu min al-Quraysh, that the Imams are from the Quraysh. This was the hadith that salvaged the situation after passing away of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was quoted there as Saqifa Banu Sa'ada in Madinatul Munawwara when they were deciding who is going to be the Khalifa. So when you look at the corridor of history, you will find that the political administrators come from the Khandan or the tribe of Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And when you look at the Fuqaha, you look at the juro consultants, then you will find them coming from the tribe or the linkage of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And when you look at those who have made great services to the Quran Kareem, then you will find that they are coming from the Khandan of Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. There is one book, it's called Musannifeen or Unke Halat, authors, writers and their conditions. A very tedious book, and it is not a book that everybody will read, because it only got facts and figures and dates and all those things. It is not like reading any kitab, even a easy kitab of history or something. In that book, if you study, you will find what Allama Khalid Mahmood is saying is to be truthful. If you look now at all those great mashaykh of tasawwuf, and if you look at all the great mashaykh of tariqat, you will find that they are linked to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala. And I will add something else, that if you look at all those who have been striving in the deen to spread it, to make tabligh and da'wat, you will find them linked to Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala. Many people do not know this, that in the time of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the spread of Islam was at the same rate as how Islam was spreading in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Then once again in history, when it came to the Khilafat of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the spread of Islam started again moving at that pace. So if you look at the Muballighin, you will find that the spread of Islam was linked to the Khandan of Hazrat Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Okay, let me discuss something else and inshallah we'll continue when we come back. As Bolan is saying, thanks. So, as far as Quran Kareem, what's our right to it? I'll just mention it and then inshallah someone can remind me next time I come and talk about it. Quran Kareem will have what right? The tilawat of it. Tilawat of it. Number two, the ta'lim of it. Number three, tabligh of it. Number four, tahaffuz of it. Number five, tazkiyah of it. So this five, starting with T, that you remember. What is the demand of Quran Kareem from us? And what is its right? That tilawat, ta'lim, tabligh, tahaffuz, and tazkiyah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the ability to practice upon the deen wa akhir da'wan. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.